Steve, great job. That was fantastic. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Kurt Wagner's here. Kurt has a great website, TVShowPatrol.com, your one-stop headquarters if you enjoy television. Hello, Kurt. How are you?
Hello.
Nice to see you. Kurt, some statistics that you brought in are very alarming if you're a fan of the television. In the season, in the TV season that was 2015 through 2016, more than 230 characters that were on episodes of at least three times or more throughout the run of a show, so either regular characters or fairly regular characters, perished. They died throughout the season. Right. 230 of them. That seems like an awfully high number.
Yeah, in one season.
Wow.
Vox.com, V-O-X.com, did this deep dive where they had this really cool graphic that shows like what each person was for each show, the numbers, the ethnicities, you know, male, female,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. And then they show the parameters, which had, you know, which the biggest parameter there was that they had to be in at least three episodes. Because if you counted...
So that's to establish
the fact... If you counted the incidental people, it would be impossible to count. So they did that. And then this week, another one of their writers did a story about, you know, basically why. Why is death such a big... Why is killing off characters such a big deal on TV now?
Yeah.
And he sort of traces it back to the Game of Thrones first season death. You've seen the first season, right? Yeah.
Kevin saw it.
Kevin's the only one who watches it here.
Spoiler alert if you haven't started, of a major player that nobody... Should I say the name?
No. Don't say it.
Because people are going to binge it this summer, I bet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, somebody dies in the first
episode. A major
episode.
Character dies.
And so he traces it sort of back to that. And that was like a huge, shocking thing. You know, it was like one of the first
You know, I remember
big,
back
shocking things.
When we were all kids... When a character died on a show, more times than not, you had no idea it was coming. There's very few. I have to be ridiculous with spoiler alerts, but on Hill Street Blues, one of the cops on Hill Street Blues, you had no idea this character was going to die, and then
because there was no internet to leak it,
right?
That's
and
it.
That's the reason that I think
that's, it.
That's the reason that shows do it more often because it's like a to get the buzz. It's
right.
Like buzzworthy thing. But the second story that Vox did, he sort of talks about how Todd Vanderwoof wrote it, and he sort of talks about how there's a lot of really bad deaths on TV now.
Bad in what way?
In that they're not done well.
Like violent?
Well,
or
they're not done well as in they don't... It's not
dramatic?
It's not a good payoff. It doesn't make sense necessarily. It just feels like...
Like someone slips on a banana peel and hits
their
head and dies.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense for the character or the story. It doesn't move the story forward in a way. Like this first Game of Thrones death really did move the story. I mean, it was the whole linchpin for the rest of the series. It made sense in that way. There's been some this season that haven't done that. It was just like, oh, we need to get some buzz, or we need to, you know, we need to get people talking about it and get people on the show. And it generally feels that way.
Right.
You know, that it's not a smart death,
right,
if you want to say it that
now,
way.
There's a handful of shows that you know on a weekly basis. On Walking Dead, pretty much every week, not every week, but almost every week, a character dies.
Right.
Right.
But it's not every week that a major character dies. So.
Right.
So when a major character dies on that show, when it's somebody who becomes beloved, you really have to have a good reason. You know, it has to make sense sort of in the world of the show. It has to.
But killing off a major character or characters, that creates a buzz around the series. People talk about it the next day and the next week, and that translates hopefully into more viewers. Right?
Well, and they always say even bad publicity is good publicity. So even if people are angry about it, you know, maybe somebody will go, "Oh my gosh, look at all this chatter about somebody dying. Maybe I should check the show out."
I am shocked that there has not been a spoiler for the Walking Dead finale where Negan and his bat Lucille took someone out.
There is, actually.
Well, I've seen so many, like, people have slowed down the video and they explain which angle Negan was when he swung the bat, and they've slowed it down and put, like, you could hear a scream and you can hear and figure out who it is. But now I also read that all the actors filmed their specific shot alone, so they don't know who died. Is that true?
It could be. I don't know. I've seen so many theories about that possible.
Does it say in this report which shows are most likely and least likely to have deaths of characters. It doesn't say
no,
that.
It doesn't really say that, but it does break down all the shows. I mean, the graphic that they did is pretty amazing because they also broke down how people died. Like, so there's a separate graphic that shows most of the deaths were gun related.
Gun-related, sure.
The knives.
Yeah.
And, you know, it breaks it down. Suicides.
It's like Clue. Candlestick. A lot of candlestick related.
And Colonel Mustard.
Yeah. And they do. They have little icons for the whole thing to go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it's pretty amazing. And it's that just seems like so much work. And the woman who did the graphic story with all the numbers and everything, she talked about, well, at first I was going to do this, but then I realized that would take me forever. I didn't have the time to do all that stuff.
Right.
So then I decided they had to be in at least three episodes. So they had to sort of be at least recurring.
Well, that makes sense because you want to build up some investment in the character. You don't just
I mean, the incidentals, like, what did they always used to say if you wore a red shirt on Star Trek?
You're
you
gone.
Knew that person was gone.
What?
And you
really?
Never actually necessarily, even in one episode, you might learn their name, but.
Because there would always be on the original Star Trek, there'd be an away team. So you'd always get Kirk and Spock and McCoy, and they're not going to kill off Kirk and Spock and McCoy, but then there'd be some young, dashing.
So if you meet somebody new,
the ship,
that you'd
learn
their
name.
Shirt,
really? I never knew that.
So if you learn their name and they had a red shirt, it was pretty, you pretty much knew they're not going to make it to
He's
the
done.
End of the episode.
So it's not just a token kill off, but you'd know their name for at least an episode.
Yeah. By the end of
That's
the episode,
awesome.
They're usually gone.
How come I didn't know that?
Which is pretty hilarious. But now, you know, nowadays it's, you know, they do major characters now that you just don't expect, but that's the reason they're doing it. But it's interesting. It's an interesting look at, you know, and the second story that he talked to showrunners about how they feel about
the impact
other
of it
shows
all.
Doing it and why they do it and stuff like that. And, you know, I think one of them actually admitted, well, sometimes it's just because we need to shake things up, you know, or whatever. But a lot of them did say there's a lot of bad TV deaths.
You know, one of the most effective of all time, and I hate to say spoiler alert because it's been 30 years, but on McLean Stevenson's last show on MASH, they get him a helicopter and he's out of there. He's leaving. Everything's fine. And then at the very end of the episode, they come in and they report, Gary Berghoff, Radar comes in and reports that the helicopter has crashed and that he had died. And I remember the look on the actors' faces and thinking, wow, is this great? And then years later, I read that they didn't tell the rest of the cast. They had one more scene to shoot, and the script was almost blank. It was just that they were going to be all together in this tent. Gary Berghoff knew because they told him.
Right, because he had to deliver the line.
Yeah, it was his line. But you see the look on all the other actors' faces as they realize, even though they're in on it, they know it's fictional. But just the shock of
a true reaction is what they got.
Well, and it's a reaction that, you know, our co-actor is gone.
Yeah.
That was before VCRs, and my cousin Susie had some teaching thing going on that night and was going to miss the last episode of MASH. Mm-hmm. So I took my little Panasonic, it was like bright yellow tape recorder, and I held it up to the TV and played it for her.
Yeah.
And it worked because it was so dramatic when Radar read the message.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a great finale.
Well, that one was not the finale.
Oh, you're right.
That was his last episode, but it went on for years after.
And that, you know, that was probably unheard of at the time.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And now, you know, the other thing about the second story that I was referring to on Vox is that, you know, he talks about how it's desensitized people to
real death. Or to television deaths.
To television deaths, but you know, they don't really go into the real deaths, but you know.
But
there's
plenty
of real deaths.
If there's a character that you don't see coming, there have been several over the last couple of years that you go, well, they wouldn't kill that guy off. They wouldn't kill that girl off. And then they do. It does. It kind of lays on you for a while. Like, oh, that's not good.
Well, I mean, and if it's someone who's a fan favorite or a beloved, I mean, imagine if Daryl is the one who gets killed off on The
Walking Dead.
Well, it would be so crazy. But if his death didn't mean something, like in the overall scope of next season, you know, like if there wasn't a payoff for that besides
just to kill, but
to
see,
get
now,
buzz,
he then has his own spinoff show, so that made me think that right away. But you can have a spinoff show. This is just him riding his bike,
right?
Yeah, it's
and that's a limited,
limited,
yeah,
you know,
so he can do
what
both.
Is it, six or eight episodes?
Yeah,
I
that's
think.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so nice to look at. But I can't understand him. He's getting worse.
There's a little mumble factor to it.
Was he at Walker Stalker Con when you went?
I did not go. I did not go.
His speech had to have closed captioning underneath it because he mumbles so much.
Yeah. What is this that I can't read?
Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. A break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kurt Wagner's here, TVShowPatrol.com. Now, Kurt, I already alerted you to this, and this made me very excited, and I'm not sure why, but over on Netflix, there was a show on PBS for years and years and years and years. The show is called The Joy of Painting. Did you ever just happen on this show?
Oh, I have watched this.
You can't stop watching that.
Is this the guy with the hair?
With the big with the afro, right.
My kids turned me on
and
to this.
Does he have a goatee or a full beard?
Bob Ross. I don't remember.
It's a billy goat. It's
yeah,
long.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Bob Ross was his name. Now, I say was because sadly Mr. Ross passed away a couple of years ago. However, that show, The Joy of Painting, which was on PBS for 11 years, and I'd watch all 11 years of it, too.
Well, that's why it was weird when my kids were watching it, because I used to, it was on Channel 11,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I used to watch it growing up, because right. It was amazing what he could do with just like a tongue depressor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He wouldn't even use a paintbrush.
Thought
paint
it was about down. Painting.
But he'd use it to move the paint,
right.
And it's like, you see it happen, it is magical.
Sometimes he would do something on a canvas, and I'd say, oh, poor Bob Ross, this is not going to turn out to look well. Like, he'd explain to you. He'd go, you put a little yellow here and some orange, and you dribble the blue, and you go, oh, that's not even going to be anything. And then he would take that tongue depressor or, like, a pizza cutter
yeah.
or a toothpick, and then all of a sudden it was the Taj Mahal. And you go, this guy's a genius.
It's pretty great
oh,
to
he's
watch.
So good.
And he was,
it's
wasn't
relaxing.
He very mellow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
God.
Never got rattled and made you believe, even though he was a first-class artist, made you believe that
you
could
do it.
That
yeah.
too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because one of the stars of that show, Sense8, that I talk about
yeah.
that's on Netflix,
yeah.
he just, Brian J. Smith just tweeted the other day that he was going to study his lines, but now Bob Ross is on Netflix. So
because
he
thing.
Said, and now I can watch Bob Ross. Thanks a lot, Netflix,
they
or
are
something like
taking
that.
Taking all these old episodes that were on PBS, and they're going to be on Netflix,
they're
right?
Already is
that
on
the,
there.
They're on
yeah.
Netflix.
They're
now.
On there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been watching them.
So, boy, that's good news. I never set out to watch that show. I just know sometimes you'd be flipping channels,
yeah.
and it was on, and you're like, I
have you ever
stop.
Tried painting?
I
paint.
Do you?
Yeah.
Wendy's pretty good at it. And you, Kurt, you too?
I don't do it his way,
I've
though.
I've done it, but
you know
I don't
what, who
it.
He reminds me of? What's his name?
Bob Ross.
John C. Reilly is doing this crazy show, Dr. Brule.
Yeah.
My kids
this?
Turned me on to this, too.
Yeah.
It is so disturbing.
It's the best.
I know. Kevin, I swear, it's like I come to work to escape my teenage boys, and then Kevin's here, and my kids are watching this. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It is intriguing, mm-hmm. but it is very disturbing to me. Yet it's almost like I've watched three episodes now. I might
you
have
like
to.
It?
Keep, I don't
it?
Like it, Bill.
You just can't stop watching it.
It's just you. Have you seen it?
Kurt? I've seen a couple. Yeah,
it's really in poor
taste.
But
you know, that's funny that you say the. You know, I didn't think about.
They look alike.
Yeah,
they have the same because John C.
That.
Reilly has his hair like in
hair.
A big
yeah.
fro like
yeah.
that, and
yeah.
it's
yeah.
that's who he kind of reminded me of, and I'm like. What is this?
So that's much more disturbing than painting with Bob
yeah,
Ross.
Yeah, one is calming and
right.
one is not.
Right. All right, there's some calls. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there. You can text us there. Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com is here to answer your questions.
Zora.
Hi.
Hi. You had a question or comment for Kurt?
Yes, I did. I've been watching The Family faithfully, and I enjoyed it. So did my friends.
So did
is
we.
Is it coming back?
It is not coming back, and as far
why?
As I know, they're not shopping it around either to try to get it somewhere else.
Oh, they left so many things that are just up in the air.
Because it really, what I loved about it, and Bill liked it as well, we watched it religiously.
Yeah.
It was better than a TV show. It was done almost like a movie
absolutely.
To me. And there were so many branches that needed to be solved,
that's
I thought
right.
for sure it's going to come back.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
so much for that. May I ask one more question?
Yeah.
The Americans, is it popular? Is it coming back? I
oh, yeah. It was just renewed for two more seasons.
But they,
oh,
I think
wonderful.
They said that these will be the final two.
Yeah, the
right?
final
that's
two.
That's
okay,
do it.
I can take two more.
Yeah.
Thank you very
thanks,
much.
Zora. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Zora.
Kurt, while we have you, there's a show on AMC that premieres this Sunday. It's Feed the Beast. Great cast, David Schwimmer and Jim Sturgess. The reviews I've been reading on it, though, have been way less than favorable. Yeah. Did you see Feed the Beast?
I haven't watched the full episodes yet. No. I've just seen the trailers, yeah.
And the premise is, it's two guys.
They're old friends, and they've always had a dream of starting a restaurant. Yeah. And one of them is kind of a screw-up, gets in trouble. I don't know if he gets in trouble with the law, but he gets in trouble with gangsters.
Yeah.
And I think maybe he gambles or something. I'm not sure. And so they end up sort of having to get into bed with some bad people.
Yeah.
To make this thing happen. Some bad money people.
Some bad money people. Yeah. All right. So that premieres on Sunday on AMC, which is AMC has become one of the premier networks on cable.
And Preacher's back too.
Yeah, right.
Because they took a week off. They had the premiere and then they took Memorial Day weekend off. And so they're back right before that.
I have to catch up on that.
It's so weird. And there's times where you just go, I have no idea what they're going for. But then in the end, when it was all said and done, the first one was, I think, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There were so many ups and downs. I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. And then, oh, no, this is great. No, this is awful. No, this is really good. Back and forth. It's an interesting show.
It's very cool.
And based on a comic book?
Based on a comic book. And
Seth Rogen
and his producing partner are producers of it. They adapted it and created it.
I got to see it.
I think you'll enjoy it. It's strange. All right.
It's very good. And they're doing another. I think they're adapting another comic book by the same
author. Oh, they are.
Author.
He's the new Kevin Smith, Seth Rogen is.
Maybe. It's possible.
Maybe.
Thank you, Kurt. Great to see you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
It's Kurt Wagner with TV show Patrol.com. It's right there on your internet. We'll take a quick break, and then Kim Gordon will bring you the news. It's WGN.